Blog Talk Radio. I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Pleased, composed by my nephew, Miles DeBastian. Thank you for joining our show tonight. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, are my beautiful co-hosts, Kim and Nicole. Nicole is a young woman, a writer, a lesbian, an entrepreneur, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Kim's a beautiful woman as well. She's a divorced mother of two. She will share the secrets that she's heard men utter about love, relationships, and marriage. And she's learned a lot of this from being a topless dancer in a gentleman's club. She's also a hairdresser. And I have to share this with Kim before we start. I was riding my bike the other day, and I took a different route. I went to Sayville. And when you're on a bike, you notice things you never notice while you're driving because, you know, you're going a little bit slower. And there was a store called the Hair Salon and Gossip Shop.
Very apropos.
And that fits in with our radio show today, because if you want to have a better love life, you're going to have to be a better person. And gossiping is definitely a big no-no. And so if you really want to have these great relationships, you're going to have to know yourself, love yourself, and heal yourself. Otherwise, all your relationships will fail. And so we're going to talk about some simple things you can do to really become a better person. And do remember, this is a call-in show, 646-929-0958. I do want to thank everyone who's been voting for me for Long Island Press. I need to tell you that I am third so far. That's what they've told me in the running.
Oh, that's super.
Which isn't bad. Third, possibly moving down to four. And I heard from one of my clients today something a little disturbing. She said, you know that I know 20 of your clients because, you know, we're all friends. I said, yeah, of course. She goes, well, a lot of them are not voting for you because they don't want you to get big like John Edwards and Jeffrey Wands. Then you won't be available for us. And I thought, is that what you think? That's not a valid reason not to vote for me, because anybody who knows me knows I'm available for my clients. So I just thought that was a little bit funny to hear.
Selfish.
Yeah, come on, girls. And they said, we don't want you to raise your price. I said, I didn't raise my price after I got Newsday. And so, anyway, I thought that was interesting. But tonight we're going to talk about being a better person. And since this was Kim's idea, and Kim, I was so blessed to see her at the book review when I was talking about my book with Ben Paris, and everyone was so happy. All my clients that were there were happy to meet Kim, because they all are fans of the radio show. So they were really happy to see a face with a voice. And I think we have to get a picture one of these days of all of you, because people want to know what you look like. So, Kim, you came up with this idea. How did you come up with this great idea for the radio show?
Well, I came up with the idea. Obviously, everybody knows I've been reading like crazy. And in the last, you know, year and a half, my life has changed pretty dramatically.
And for those people who haven't been listening, maybe we have some new listeners, can you share a few of those dramatic changes?
Well, in the year and a half, I had been divorced, which was a very good thing. I'm very happy about that. And I guess pretty much what changed my whole thinking was the past relationship that I had. You know, I fell in love with a man, and it just changed my life forever. Thank
God. Was it happily ever after?
Did we live happily ever after?
Mm-hmm.
No, we
like
did not.
Like the fairy tales? Mm-hmm.
No, we did not. He had his own life that he had to live and take care of his things. He was a married. He is a married man. So he made the choice to stay in his marriage, and it was very devastating to me because I love them 100%, as everybody knows, body, heart, soul, and mind. And he just didn't feel the same way enough to leave. So
you had
okay.
A divorce, a broken heart, a love, and a broken heart.
Yeah.
You also switched jobs. You have two jobs now.
Yes.
You're not
I'm
only in the
to get into the
business.
Hairdressing business, yes, which
okay.
is very interesting in itself.
And your mother passed away. So
and my mom passed away. It's been a very challenging year.
Right, and you have been holding up wonderfully. You know, all your spiritual reading, all your spiritual practices have really been there for you and in place for you, because these stress levels, if we were to do, and we're going to do a show on stress, what stressors that, you know, cause us to really, you know, go over the top. A death of a loved one would do that. A divorce would do that. A broken heart would do that. A change of job would do that. So you're really, you know, on a stress level, you know, up there with a Richter scale. But you've been really, you know, taking that higher road. So that's why, you know, your idea to have this show came from your own wanting to be a better person?
Absolutely. I would say 3 years ago I read this book. I don't know if anybody's by Rhonda Byrne called The Secret.
Sure,
probably 4 years
one.
Ago. And actually Nicole gifted me that book when I was having a very difficult time in my life at that point. And that kind of started me on a journey. And then I read The Law of Attraction. And although
it's,
I didn't
it's really...
really
a much more in-depth study of the laws of attraction, the secret
right,
watered
exactly.
down.
And that pretty much opened the doorway of a lot of different things in my life, and that was about 3 years ago, and I really wanted a divorce, and I was fighting myself with it, and stay for the kids, and stay because this is what I'm supposed to do, and all of a sudden, things started changing, and, you know, I obviously allowed myself to get into a relationship with somebody, and just life changed after that. And after the breakup of that relationship, I said, you know, I want to be a better person. I never wanted to date a married man. That's not who I am, you know. I mean, although I couldn't help the way I feel, I could have not acted on my feelings, so to speak.
Absolutely.
And to me, I do respect marriage, and I think it's a wonderful thing. And if you can make things work, I think that you should. But I do believe that you need to be the best person that you can be in the marriage. And perhaps I wasn't necessarily that in my own marriage. And for the rest of my life, I'm really conscious now. And I'm going to read you a quote that I got today from Abraham. I get
okay,
these
Abraham,
quotes every
is
day.
Abraham is the character that, or the being, the spirit guide in the Laws of Attraction that Esther and Jerry Hicks channel.
Correct.
For those people who don't know.
And the quote of the day was, move into the fullness of your true identity and watch your whole life change.
So that's a good step. That's a good step.
And it was funny because that was today's quote.
Okay, can you just, yes, and of course you've got synchronicity and divine guidance. Could you read it again? So for people?
Move into the fullness of your true identity and watch your whole life change.
Okay.
Now for me, and everybody has their own perception of what the definition of this might be. But for me, it's more of a consciousness. And I was once told, somebody said, my life is like Groundhog Day. It's just the same.
Yeah,
but when you don't
that.
Have consciousness and you're on autopilot, it's like getting from point A sometimes to point B when you're driving in your car and you're like,
right.
Oh, my God, how did I get here?
Absolutely.
You know, well, I'm here, but I don't know how I got here. Good,
so
bad, or indifferent.
So the first step for you would be really become your true self. And if you remember in Grant Me a Higher Love, if you want a true love, you're going to have to be your true self. A false self is going to get a false love.
Right.
A true self.
And basically, I mean, the bottom line is, if you want a better life, you can't keep blaming everybody on the outside. But you really have to get a consciousness and awareness of the things that you have to change. If you don't believe there's anything that you need to change, you're never going to change.
Well, that's what the first step in any healing, any addiction is. You got to understand you got a problem here, you know. If you don't see there's anything wrong with what you're doing or the way you're behaving,
And ultimately, Nicole and I say this all the time, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result.
Exactly. So
it just doesn't work.
So, okay, we have the first step is to be your true self. And I would actually say the second step should be the law of attraction, using that, visualizing that you are a better person, seeing that better person, and beginning to realize some things you would want to change about yourself and see those changes. Visualize yourself changing. Because a lot of people will say things like, well, I have a bad temper, I can't change. And I always say, no, you had a bad temper. You don't have to have a bad temper.
And after this past challenging week, I kind of laughed at myself and I said, you know, maybe a couple years ago I would have handled things differently, my car breaking down, me losing the demo key when I was at the book review, and my paycheck getting stolen at the hair salon, and I said, and my hair turning brown at the hair salon. I said, maybe 2 years ago I would have reacted in a different way, but then I just laugh and I tell myself there's a solution to every problem no matter what it is, and I don't have to overreact.
Step three? Let's not sweat the small stuff. Because
exactly.
You want to be
and
a
I can be
person.
In control of my actions because I have free will, as does everybody else.
Right. To be a better person, you have to stop acting. You know, in America, everybody acts like everything matters. It's all a big deal. You know, you're losing your pen, you lose your leg, it's all the same. Let's all freak out. You know, it has to be some level of it doesn't matter, it's okay. You know, when I used to be on the road 30,000 miles a year to do kids' parties, I used to pray before I did the show, dear God, just get me there, you know, the kids. You know, not for the money of it, not for my ego I had to do the show, but because the kids were expecting Cinderella or a clown, and you don't want to hurt the kids. And if at the end of 8 shows in the 100-degree temperature and it was, you know, I'm starving, I'm hot, and I'm tired, and the car broke down after the 8th show, I never got angry. I always felt like, it's okay, I got through my day, you know. And so if we could see things as sometimes if a lot of things are going wrong, like you losing your key and several things happening, sometimes it's the way of the universe telling us we're not being mindful. We're not paying attention. We have too much on our mind. So they let us lose a demo key, which is a bad thing, but it's not the same as getting in an accident because you're not paying attention or your mind isn't there. So sometimes we could look at these little things as, you know, our angels and guides saying, you know, hey, Cindy, you're not paying attention, you know. You're like walking around, you know, half asleep. You know, be mindful and pay attention. But you could see in these experiences that you had, you know, and after having lost your mother, losing a love that was important to you, having a divorce, which is an earthquake, these things were really minor in the scheme of life. So that's a major, major, you know, thing. Can we be a little bit more easygoing and not make everything matter? The kind of people that are the most pleasant to be around are the kind of people you go somewhere with them. They don't really care how the food is. They don't care how this is. That is, as long as, you know, they're having a good time. They're okay. They're easy to please, as opposed to other people who are never pleased. Anybody know anybody like that?
Well, I always say, you know, everybody always asks me at work, how are you? I said, as long as I'm breathing, I'm always going to be good.
That's right. And
how could you stay so positive? Because I'm happy, and I choose to be that way.
Okay, you said another important thing. You said stay positive. Try to be more positive. The mindset of human consciousness since World War II has been very negative. We're surrounded by negativity. And it's really harder to be positive because, you know, if you're surrounded in a, you know, workplace where people are negative, it could drag you down. But if we learn to not be brought down but try to bring people up, if we can, and if we can't, we just have to find a way to keep ourselves up. It's not easy. That's one of the hardest lessons.
Sometimes it's best to just walk away, Cindy.
That's also good. One time Sean had this job, and it was in Port Jefferson, and it was an all-women office, like way too much estrogen in the place. And they were all catty and bitchy and mean and petty. And one day she just walked out the door and said, I don't have to take this. And the next job she got was in an office also with women, but their manager was a very unique woman. And if she heard anybody gossiping or being petty or being mean, she quietly walked over to them and said, this is not what we do here. We don't behave that way. And it stopped. And anybody who wanted to be petty or mean quit. They couldn't stand the job, you know, and new people that came. and the positive people stayed. So if you're in a job where it's really negative energy, if you can afford to, and sometimes even if you can't, because if you just walk out that door, the universe says, hooray, no more excuses for people's abuse. No, you don't have to take abuse. You do have a choice. And you'll usually get a much better job the next time around. All right, Kim, are you thinking of walking out the door of any place?
Oh, well, I have to give myself at least 6 months at this job or a little bit more. I really try to bring a positive energy to this. I was a little, you know, disheartened at somebody taking my pay, which, you know, they weren't really ultimately stealing from me. They were stealing from the salon. But I laugh and I say, you know, I've been dealing with women, and I don't really know what the word is, but their insecurities about me being around their world. And I always, you know, I find beauty in everybody, and I try to, you know, turn it around. And I'll give it a little bit longer, and we'll see what happens from there. The gossip has definitely ceased a bit as while I'm in the room, at least.
That's so the best thing. If somebody's gossiping, what steps can we give somebody? Basically, you don't have to participate in the gossip.
And I certainly don't.
What you can do is start to change as they're talking about someone, switch to another topic, you know. And if they can't do that, then sometimes you just need to, you know, walk away.
Holy smokes, Cindy, these women are brutal. I'm really not familiar with being around, like, so to speak, real women in the real world. Woo! Brutal, vicious. Eek.
Well, women have disempowered other women. So how about for women, can't we be nicer to other women? If a woman is beautiful, enjoy that beauty. If a woman is intelligent, enjoy that intelligence. If a woman is talented, enjoy that talent. Stop envying it. If you envy somebody's good looks, well, do something more for yourself. If you're not happy with your looks, you can go on a diet, you can work out, you can get a new hairdo, you can put on better clothes or makeup or whatever it is. You know, you can take some steps to look better. So if you're threatened by other women, it may be something that, you know, you have to examine yourself. Why are you feeling that way?
Cindy, I love women, and I've never felt threatened by any other women, and I really do love to be around women. I feel comfortable with it. I just don't know why they don't feel comfortable with me.
Well, because sometimes you're just going to find people who are going to be that way, and that might not be the right shop for you. You know, that's just the way it is. And you'll make that decision. So we're going to try to be nice, even if we're around people who are not particularly nice. You know, in my newsletter that I sent out today, you know, something that was channeled to me very recently is that human beings by nature have a mean streak. And I thought about that. I said, why are you channeling me that piece of information? And I realized it's true. When you watch children, we all have a mean streak. Some people are very thin, like a thread, so it's barely noticeable. You got to really push those people to be mean. Other people's meanness is larger than their whole being. And all of us have to work at evolving from that meanness, learning to say what we mean and without being mean about it. And it's not easy, because a lot of people stay in toxic love or mediocre love because it can be mean. They have a person they can be mean to. They can say nasty things, like, you look like hell, oh, you're a big bitch. You know, they can be nasty. And they want to, you know, enact that meanness behind a closed door, and then they look so nice to the outside world. So all of us have to work on that sort of mean streak. And having been a children's entertainer, it would be amazed how some children would really have an absence of meanness when they started out on this planet. You know, there are a few rare, very old souls as children who are not mean, but life beats us up a lot. So even if we started out as beings who were not mean, that mean streak comes out as we deal with other children and with our siblings who, you know, anybody who's had brothers and sisters, you know, we all learned to be mean because our, you know, brothers and sisters were so damn mean to us that, you know, we had to do that as a defense. So, you know, I think working at getting out of that meanness. Now, I haven't heard from Nicole much today. I know she's very tired. But do you agree with that? Most people have some level of meanness in them.
I think that everybody can be mean. It's, I think that overall, everybody's got the ability to not be mean. and to channel that energy differently. I think that being mean is just the easier route to take sometimes, and it's usually the collective route to take sometimes. And people tend
well,
to
want
to collective
meanness.
A little bit.
World War
absolutely.
II was, you know, in Nazi Germany was an example of collective meanness.
Oh, absolutely, you know, and I think that, you know, it takes the same emotion, I mean, at least for me, it takes the same emotion in you to dislike someone as it does to like someone. It's just how you channel it. You know, you can either choose to take that energy and put the energy into, you know, being unkind, or you can take the same amount of energy and choose to be kind, but it's all a choice. You know, I don't think that anyone is inherently bad at any particular moment in time. I just think that it's how they channel it.
And also, I can't stress enough that kindness is the highest evolution of a human being. No matter what situation we're in, if we're in a lawsuit against somebody, yes, we have to be warriors. We have to be spiritual warriors in that battle. But we can be kind at some level. We don't have to go after people's jugulars. We don't have to be meaner than we are, even in a lawsuit. We can tell the truth, but we don't have to strive to be these really mean and ugly people. And, you know, I find when people are mean, oftentimes they're just tired. They're working too hard, and, you know, they're snappy and they're bitchy. And, you know, so sometimes to be a better person, you're going to have to take better care of yourself. You're going to have to sleep if you're tired. You know, you can't just keep, you know, doing for everybody. And we get mean when we're tired and people expect us to do things and we're just tired. And, you know, when we say, you know, I'm too tired to do that right now, and the person makes us feel guilty or whatever, a meanness can come out. So, you know, sometimes it's just we're not mean, you know, really, we're just being tired or pushed too hard. And as mothers, sometimes it happens. You know, when you've got, you know, your kids acting up and you're tired and the kid, you know, sometimes, you know, as a mother, we can say things we shouldn't say. But again, I found in my life a secret for me is not to get overly tired. Because, you know, then I just, you know, the world just looks a lot darker when you're tired.
Well, I think that overall you have to, that kind of goes back to what Kim and I were talking about when she was coming up for the idea for this particular show. And we talk a lot about projection of our own, you know, personalities and projection of our own feelings onto other people. And basically where both of us are right now, and I think that Kim would agree with me, is that we make it a point to know what we're feeling, and we ask ourselves, how are we feeling? Well, you know, I'm reacting this way. Why? And we ask and we contrast it. And then when it comes time to be, you know, in the room with somebody, and when it comes time to actually express anything towards another person, we realize, okay, I'm tired right now. I might be a little bit, you know, shorter tempered than I should be. And we take control of that. You know, we take the reins.
And how about
it's not a question of letting our emotions just fly just because
they're
our emotions.
And how about when you notice that person is tired? You know, mean people, you know, my ex-husband has a mean streak, and, you know, even his father came to live with us for a while, you know, said, you've always had a mean streak. When he knew I was tired or whatever, instead of just saying, oh, you know, babe, you're tired, you know, relax, he would push my buttons to make me be mean. He couldn't wait for me, you know, okay, you're being a bitch, you're doing this. You know, when somebody's tired and they're being a little bitch, they don't necessarily need you to point it out. A kind word, you know, why don't you sit down and have a cup of tea, or, you know, okay, you've worked really hard and you're tired, you know, it goes a long way. I mean, there was this woman who for 40 years went along with every Miss America. You know, no matter who was Miss America, this woman was the one who went, you know, on the tour with them. And the reason they kept her for 40 years was she had a remarkable talent. All, you know, over a 40-year period of time, there were 40 different Miss Americas. That means 40 different personalities. She knew exactly how to keep every one of them calm. When they were freaking out and they couldn't handle something and they were tense, she knew the right words to get them to bring out the best in them. And I think if we want to be a better person, can we work on our skills to bring out the best in people? You know, it is a skill. It is a talent. But I think it's one we could all do.
It's funny. I had suggested a book to a coworker of mine today. And he was like, what are you trying to do, manipulate me? I said, no, I'm not trying to. You have free will whether you decide to read the book or not. but it might make you think on how to change your life because you're not in the specific area of your life you want to be in right now. If you want a better life, you have to be a better person. And this is just something that people really don't understand. You know, my life sucks, and then you die, and all these horrible, you know, statements that the grass isn't greener on the other side. I mean, we came up with a list the other day.
Yeah.
You know, how do you know the grass isn't greener on the other side? Why don't you try being a better person, and I guarantee you, your life will be better. Well, I'm a good person. It has not, you know, if you're lying to people, you know what? That's not necessarily being a good person. Half-truths. You know when you're lying. You know exactly, everybody knows when they're lying. When you become comfortable with that, that becomes part of your identity now.
So why don't we just, you know, we can all be a better person, and we all have defects, we all have dysfunction. We have, you know, through the millenniums, thousands and thousands of years of learned dysfunctional behavior. That's a given. And, you know, I always say all human beings are screwed up. It's not me, it's not you, it's everybody. But we can try to be a little screwed up, less screwed up. We can really start saying, this is not acceptable. You know, I don't like the way I'm behaving. I don't think this is who I want to be. And, you know, some of the things we have to do is if there's something that we have to change, if we have addictive behaviors, we're addicted to drugs or alcohol or spending too much money, whatever it is, it has to be something that we, as a better person, have to work at. And it's not going to happen in a minute. So you have to understand, if you're going to be a better person, you know, the changes will take slow. They're not going to be fast. Don't get mad at yourself because you're not able to overcome everything in a second. But just visualize that you can. If you're addicted to cigarettes and you think, oh, God, I'm never going to be able to give them up, well, in the laws of attraction, you never will. But if you see yourself smoke-free, you're not smoking, visualize it, you can take those steps toward a goal that's important for you.
But I do have to stress the fact that it does take consciousness, and it takes a little work.
Yeah, life. You know what? It's funny because Americans don't realize, you know, in our Constitution says in the pursuit of happiness. Yeah, that's great. We have to pursue happiness, but life is suffering until we learn things. And sometimes we have to do that hard work. It's not all easy. Life isn't a free ride, you know, and why are people so afraid of that hard work? You know, if you're an inherently lazy person, then you're going to have to realize that defect in yourself, that, you know, if you want any change, you're going to have to work hard at it. And by the same token, if you're a workaholic, and maybe you need to work on that part of your personality. Only you really know, and of course, people in your inner circle are usually pretty well at pointing out your defects.
And that's funny. In the last week, I've asked a lot of former boyfriends, a lot of, you know, friends, if there's anything that you could change about me or you didn't like, what would it be? I really wanted to know the answer to these questions.
Right, because you're doing your homework. You do roving reporter that you are.
I was. I was a roving reporter this week. You know, and everybody was so kind and, you know, nothing, you know. And, you know, a couple people said some things that were just, you know, okay.
Oh, boy, have nice people in your life. There isn't one
person
that doesn't have a litany of things they'd like to, you know, change in me. And, you know, it's funny when you hear it all, you're like, you know, there are long lists that people may have, but I think that's part of it.
And I don't make excuses or anything, you know. I'm like, all right, okay, well, you know, everybody has a bad day from time to time and everything. And I had given you another quote that I heard at 4 o'clock in the morning one morning: through pain and suffering, instead of being bitter, we can become better.
Very good.
And it really hit me hard at 4 o'clock in the morning when I had insomnia. And I'm listening to it, and I'm like, through pain and suffering, we can be better, not bitter.
Right.
And it makes a whole lot of sense. Sure, can everybody sit there and say, woe is me, my past is, boo-hoo-hoo? Sure, but you know what? If we learn to overcome the pain and suffering, we can be better people. I'm not blaming anybody for my own faults or what has happened in my life, because everything's supposed to happen for a reason. And to hold on to resentment and hatred and bitterness, why?
Well,
does it make us better people?
One thing that you've said several times that we haven't made it as a crucial step here: read. If you want to be a better person,
You know how many people I hear that say, I don't read? I'm like, well, no.
Well, you've
power.
Been saying read at least 10 times, but we haven't actually said, if you want to be a better person, read. I would say the person that I am is because I was an avid reader all of my life. And as a child, because I came from such dysfunction, they didn't teach me anything. I had to go to the library and read to find out things. And so I trusted books above people because I trusted that if I wanted a particular topic to understand, I could read 7 or 8 books to find out about things. And so if you want to be a better person, but watch what you read. If you're going to be reading pornography, I don't know if that's going to make you a better person. It might make you a better reader. It might make you go blind. I don't know. But
I'm halfway there. Anyway, it's just in this last year of spirituality, and I read all these books, and I say, I'm not the only one who thinks this way. And sometimes I'm reinforced by the books that I read, and I'm surprised. I'm like, holy smokes, I'm not the only one who really believes this. I think I'm so different, but I'm really not. And it goes back to, you know, being raised and programmed a certain way.
And that's another thing, programmed. We have to change our errors in thinking, our false beliefs, the tape recorders that run in our head that are telling us all erroneous things. And you can only do that by stepping outside of your own tribal thinking, what your family told you, what your community told you, and start to read what other people are thinking. So you're deprogramming yourself, really, Kim, every day.
Absolutely, and even going, hanging out with my family on Sunday, which was my mother's birthday. Happy birthday, Rita.
Happy birthday.
I haven't really been around them, you know, a whole lot in the last, you know, since this has happened. And I've really been, you know, reading a lot and spending a lot of time by myself. And I'm in the midst of a room with the people. And I said, my God, I always felt different from these people. I always believed different than these people. It's kind of like they call it the black sheep of the family. It's because I really believed that something was going on that was wrong ever since
a
child.
Why would God put an odd sheep into a certain sheep pasture? Because all those odd sheep are thinking erroneously and false beliefs. And they need to put one odd sheep in there to change the thinking, to help that whole family, that whole soul group evolve.
Well, they're very resistant, and I'm not in judgment of that. And, you know, do people change? If they want to change, they think everything's fine, they're believing what they believe, and I have no judgment of that, but they're all miserable.
Right. Well, again, first of all, I think we also need to decide what it means to be a good person. And, you know, before you can be a good person, you have to know what it is. So if you can start observing people who you think are good people, and they may have some traits that are good and some traits that aren't. But
nobody's perfect, Cindy.
But take the good traits that you see. Because as a child, you know, I was raised in this horrible family, which was very violent and unhappy. And I used to look to other people, you know, a neighbor who was very kind and very gentle, or a man who was very, you know, kind to his children and supportive of them. And I used to say, well, that's what I want to be like, you know. And I wasn't sure how you become like that, you know. I didn't know if you were born that way or, you know, you had to be in that family. You know, I wasn't in that family. Can I turn out like those people? But if you first, you know, take some time, like we did that love work assignment, you know, what your ideal soulmate would be like. How about, what would my ideal me be?
Right.
You know, what would that be? And, you know, it is making a decision to be a different kind of person. I mean, we always have to, you know, sort of do the dysfunction we've learned because, you know, we do it, we judge it, we become it. And, you know, after we kind of sort of bless the people that did it and kind of let them go and move on, it is deciding who do you want to be. You know, I had a very forceful personality as a child because I was raised by, you know, Hitler. So, you know, it's hard not to take that personality. And I began to realize that my friends were frightened of me, and it scared me. I said, do I want to be a kind of person that frightens people? I said, I must have certain kind of power within me to frighten people. Why don't I use that to heal people or make them happy? So we can know something about ourselves, and if we decide that we don't like it, you know, I can't stress enough, you're not going to change in a minute. You know, I read a lot about psychology when I was growing up, from the time I'm about 16 to probably about 40. And I was doing it because I had issues and I knew I had to heal them, and I was looking for the tools to do it. And so being aware that we have tools, we can read about psychology, we can read about spirituality, you know, these things will help. You know, reading isn't going to change it if you don't do the actions. You know, you do have to do the actions and walk the walk. And I think that's what Kim and Nicole do very well. You both try to walk the walk.
Thank you.
Well, the most powerful example that you can set is the power, you know, of example in itself. You know, you can't just go around and tell people what to do or how to be a better person unless they actually see you walking that path. You know, I mean, I used to give advice to people all the time about, oh, you should do this, you should do that, et cetera, et cetera. But nobody ever took my advice before because I wasn't following my own advice. And now, since I've been doing this and since I have really come a long way as far as my own self-actualization and realization, now I see people listening to me left and right because I'm saying more, but at the same time,
well,
I'm kind of saying less.
Well, it's not necessarily saying what you should do anymore. It's what I'm doing.
Exactly.
Right. And again, people will, you know, do as you do, not as you say. So parents who drink like a fish and wonder why their kids grow up to be alcoholics, well, I told them not to. They do as you do. The best example you can set for your children is to not do these things. And, you know, I know a lot of people that smoke pot every day of their life. And, you know, they got kids. I'm like, you know, if you think it's okay, I don't know about that. But then you're mad because your kids are doing drugs and doing other things. Well, they kind of saw you do it every day.
Well,
so,
the question you have to ask yourself is, why do you need to smoke pot and disassociate yourself from the world?
Right. And that's another thing. We have to stop self-medicating. If you have to feel some pain, there's just no way around it. And, you know, if you don't process the pain that's been done to you here, you're going to take it with you to the afterlife. Now, doesn't that stink? Mm. You know, people who just think it's going to go away, okay, I'll die. You know, people want to kill themselves to get away from the pain. It doesn't work that way. You take that pain that you have not processed. Process the pain, process what's been done to you, and blow it back to the people who have caused it to you. It is their pain then to process. So, you know, we can't always run for, you know, the drink or, you know, the happy pill, the pill, whatever. We sometimes are going to have to face this. So, you know, healing your issues are really the number one thing to be
a better. And I want to stress the point of an example that I had to deal with this week of a gentleman that's actually helped me out with my car from the Nissan dealer. You know, he talks to me about his wife all the time. And he had an affair like 6 or 7 years ago, and he said it was never the same. And my wife doesn't want to be with me. She could care less about me, and on and on. And then I've been speaking to him like 3 or 4 years now, and he said, and she drinks 2 bottles of wine every single night. She has to drink these. And that was the first time I'm like, oh, okay. He's like, she's drunk every single night ever since she found out.
Right.
So
she hasn't
really
dealt
not
with the pain.
Right.
She hasn't, you know, she could have left him. You know, that's always a choice. Or she could have forgiven him. But to do nothing and to then, you know.
No, she hasn't forgiven him.
And that's the thing.
She can't leave him because she can't take care of herself, so.
Right. Again, to be a better person means we have to be good to the people in our inner circle. And what was recently channeled to me is, it's not the terrorists that come and get us. It's not the muggers out in the street that come and hurt us. It's usually our inner circle that's raping, stealing, hurting, you know, us. And we have to move ourselves away from people who won't heal and continually hurt us. We can't, you know, I would wonder why that man is staying in that marriage. Why he is tolerating
well,
that.
So desperately seeking somebody else. And he said, I have all the money I want. I have the perfect house. I love my kids. I wish I could take her, remove her, and put somebody that loves me that I love in my house.
Wow. Well, today's topic is how to be a better person and then have a better love life. I think we have a caller.
We do. Hi, you're on the air.
A little bit.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, it's only me, and I just wanted to listen.
Only me, which is TJ, for those of you who don't know. And now Kim and TJ have met, and I was glad for that at the book review. I had two people I love in the room.
Thank you.
All right. Anyways, I didn't mean to talk right away. I was just listening to what you were saying. So go right ahead.
Okay. So you don't have to talk unless you want to.
So we're going to mute you, TJ.
And can I read another passage that I got today from the Daily Teachings?
The Daily Teachings. Okay. And the Daily Teachings is from where?
Learning to Love or Loving Yourself or one of those websites.
Okay, and what was the daily teaching?
We all fall out of soul consciousness because the world wants us to go that way. The material world has so many distractions, it's easy to lose focus. When everybody's just focused on money, and obviously in these times that we're having right now, everybody's so overwhelmed and focusing on money that they do believe that the more money they make, the better person that they can be. And really, that's money doesn't define people.
Well,
and it never will.
One of my steps here that I wrote down about 20 of them, was focus your mind on something positive and focus on changes that you want to make and on positive thoughts. And, you know, don't dwell in those negative places, because it's so easy to do that and to lose yourself in the past. And, you know, focus on today, you know, what's happening today. You know, don't, what if this happens tomorrow? What if that happens tomorrow? Don't concentrate on the past. I should have done this. I should have done that. Focus your mind on today and the tasks that you have to do and where you need to go and the goals that are important to you today, because most of us are not living in the now.
Right. And I do have to say, if you are in a relationship, only know that you have control over yourself. You can't make other people change. They have to have the desire to change. But if you become a better person, perhaps that will be the, you know, role model that that other person needs to be as well. And if they're not, again, it comes to the point where you have to make a decision. Is this what I want? Because people can influence the way you feel. They can't influence your actions and behaviors, but they can influence the way that you feel. And if you're not feeling good with somebody and you've done everything that you can do, instead of hurting that person more and allowing them to hurt you, do what's the best thing for everybody involved.
Absolutely. We also need to learn from our experiences to be a better person. Those who do learn from their experience will grow, and those who don't, or, you know, you're going to outgrow those people if they're not going to learn the lessons. So every experience we're given is really for us to learn something, to learn to be a better person, not to learn to be bitter, not to learn to be mistrustful, not, you know, to learn that life stinks and that, you know, I can't change anything. So again, it's really learning from our experience, and that's what Kim and Nicole have been doing this whole year. They've been given a lot of chances to learn. You know, Nicole made a whole big quantum leap into a new field, a new job. I mean, that was a wonderful learning experience. Are you enjoying this experience? Are you learning from it? Is it making you a better person?
Absolutely, yeah. It was very, very scary to do it. And when at the end of the day, I just said, with any kind of success comes risk. So I took the risk, and I couldn't be happier for it. And luckily, because of the kind of person that I am, when I'm coming across these people, you know, when they're coming in, it's not just about work. You know, I really don't think that I work all that much sometimes, even though I put in 100-some-odd hours a week. There's not a day that goes by where I say, I wish I didn't have to go in, or I really wish I didn't have to do this. I love to be there. I love what I do, and I love the fact that I'm getting hands-on with these kids, these young minds that all sit there, and they view me as their equal, even though I'm not. And they bring me their school problems, their relationship problems, their, you know, their home problems. They bring it to me. And they say, Nikki, what do I do? And I sit there and I tell them exactly what to do. And they listen. And I really feel that in addition to furthering myself in this experience as far as finances and as far as my business knowledge, I'm really making a difference with them too, because I'm getting them at such a young age where their minds aren't made up yet. They're not completely jaded by life yet. And I get a chance to teach them something that maybe they're not learning at home. And I'm getting to teach them about being positive and about not fearing anything and about realizing their own inner power and their own inner light and having them take that to the next level. So I really feel like I'm in a place where I needed to be and where I desire to be every day.
Well,
with no regrets whatsoever.
Well, step 17 that I had was love what you do. So you and do what you love. And, you know, God doesn't ask us to stay in a job we hate. We, out of our own fears of change, fears of the unknown, fears of taking a risk, you know, stay. You know, sometimes we trade happiness for security. So if you're really in a job you hate, it's time to change. It's time, you know, it might not be able to happen in an instant. Again, we don't become a better person or a changed person in an instant, although we could. Really, truly, we could change on a dime if we wanted, but human beings by nature are too fearful to do that. But it will take time. So if you're not in a profession you like or a job you like, go back to school or learn something else. You know, start a part-time business or do something, because if you're working 8 or 10 hours a day or 40 to 80 hours a week at a job you hate, you're not going to be a happy person.
And I just want to interject here for a moment.
Sure, go ahead.
For 9 out of the 10 years of my experience working in a topless bar, I hated my job. I really did. And I had that brief, you know, period to not work there for about 3 months. I went back to the job with a whole new attitude. I love to sing, and I love to dance. And I started to be grateful for the fact that I can sing and dance, even though maybe I don't do either one very well. But I was almost happy that I can get to do some of the things that I love to do. I love to talk to people. And I, again, like Nicole, I have a little bit more of a different experience with people, because a lot of people are set in their ways that come in there. But I do offer my experience, strength, and hope every day, and I make people smile, and they make me smile. And if there's a negative entity in the room, I eliminate myself from those people. But I think I have something to offer there as well. And I'm having fun doing it now.
Okay, that's the key, because I know as a children's entertainer, I hated it for probably out of the 25 years I did it, 20 years of it. It was an extremely hard job to do. The parents are nuts. You know, it's a party. They're filled with fear. They want everything to be perfect. And I kept saying to God, why can't I get out of this? Why do I have to keep doing this? And the universe pretty much said this, because you're afraid. The job makes you afraid. You're afraid of judgment. You're afraid of these people rejecting you. You know your job. You're confident, and yet you let these people intimidate you. And if I let you out of this job, that fear is just going to travel with you. So what I did was finally realize I love the kids. The kids were wonderful. So I began to just focus on the children. I really didn't pay attention to the parents. You know, I was there for the kids, and I began to love the job as I did that. And the kids would ask their parents to have me at the party. It didn't matter what the parents thought. It mattered what the kids thought. So I began to realize, once I was overcoming my fear of judgment and just saying, if somebody doesn't like me, that's the way it is. You know, not everybody's going to like us, but we're doing the best that we can. I always did my job to the best of my ability. You know, out of 10,000 shows I was invited to do, I never missed one. You know, I took it very seriously, and I did the best that I could. So sometimes we do need to stay or go back and see, why did I hate it so much? Was there anything good about it? Of course, I got to sing and dance too, whether it was good or bad. I got to sing and dance, and I realized I get to bring my soul to work. A lot of people can't bring their hearts and souls to work.
And working in a hair salon, I'm judged more there than I am judged working in the other place. And it just came to make me believe that people are just judgmental. And
yes,
perhaps that's something in myself,
okay, so
that I really need to work on, you know, every day. Because it hurts me. And
well,
I would never want
to
hurt another
person. We have to stop judging other people.
Right.
And we also have to stop being so affected by their judgment. And remember in my book, the collective unconscious fear that all human beings have, besides the fear of abandonment and rejection, is the fear of judgment. It's not just a personal fear. It's deep in our inner being of being a human being. So it isn't an easy thing to overcome the fear of judgment, nor is it easy to not judge. Both things are, but try, you know, the expression we learned when we were kids, walking through somebody else's shoes. I mean, when I was doing a children's entertainer, you know, being, people would say, you know, I know how to do this. You know, I've been to a lot of kids' parties. Going to a lot of kids' parties and being an entertainer there are two different things. I mean, it's people thinking that they know how to do your job or telling you how to do your job. Maybe in America, you know, unless somebody's really doing their job badly, maybe you ought to be quiet sometimes and let people do their job.
It's funny when we first started the show, if you recall, how many opinions we got from the stripper who didn't know anything.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
And I would say, you know, it's almost been a year. It'll be a year in January. And perceptions have changed, haven't they?
Absolutely.
And I'm just a normal person like everybody else.
Right.
With a heart and a soul and a mind and, you know, feelings.
And I think being a better person means respecting people for what they do, for their talents. We all have unique talents and skills and, you know, not envying them. Another thing we could do to be a better person is pick up some of our dreams. Why, you know, when we're raised by, our family, sometimes they, you know, tell us to get a day job. They don't want us to do the things that might be our dreams. You know, you're never too old to pursue something. It's never too late.
That you love, absolutely.
You know, it's never too, you know, say, you know, you love painting, but, you know, your brothers and sisters said you were a lousy painter or a bad artist. Well, so what? You like doing it. You know, why don't you just paint without worrying about outcome? Is it good? Is it bad? Are you enjoying it? You know, learn a new skill. Learn to dance. You know, in doing these things, we stay healthier. We stay young. Every time you learn a new skill, it keeps you young. And
it empowers you.
And it empowers you. And I think once you stop learning, once you stop believing that you can do something and stop thinking that age is a factor, because it's only a factor if you think it is. You know, you can really learn many new skills. You can go forward with it. And people who are continually learning are, you know, energetic and have a youthful energy about them. But don't give up on those dreams, you know. And once we give up on our dreams, then life is not really fun. And we get stuck and we get depressed. And a depressed person is not a better person.
No.
Anybody who's been near depressed people, they're not good people to be near. It's not fun to be near a depressed person, nor is it fun to be depressed. And, you know, I've been down that route. It's not good.
Sure.
You know,
I think we all have. I don't think anybody's immune to depression.
Right. And if you're depressed, it's anger turned inward. It's a feeling of hopelessness. If you're feeling hopeless, you're not practicing the laws of attraction. It's not your job to figure out how you're going to get that life that you want. It's your job to visualize the life that you want and watch the universe guide you step by step.
Take a little action.
Oh, yeah. And that's what it is. When they guide you step by step,
yeah.
They'll bring you people. They'll bring you experiences. You know, you'll read a book that'll tell you the first step. You know, you have to pay attention and you do have to do something or you're going to be stuck. So we've come up with a lot of, you know, really helpful things. You know, deciding what it is to be a good person. How about, you know, making some new friends or, you know, if you've got friends who are really negative and, you know.
Holy smokes, I see that more than,
gosh.
Misery loves company, always remember that, and they will tell you exactly what they want you to hear so you stay in the same place as them.
Right, and we all know people that we can call up and we feel like being mean and gossipy, or if I want to hear an opinion that's really lower chakra or really, really not the higher path. I know who I can call up. I also know who I can call up who will say, you know, I hear you venting, whatever, but, you know.
The support and encouragement.
Yeah, and kind of getting you from that negative space to the positive space. And it's not always easy. You know, I'm challenged every single day. I have two dying parents who I didn't really speak to for the last 40 years of my life except, you know, on holidays. You know, it was very, you know, maybe three times a year, who now call me 30 times a day to bug the hell
out. I bet you're learning to be a better person.
Oh, dear God. Sometimes I don't think so. And, you know, every day we're going to be challenged. You know, we're going to be challenged by people that, you know, I wish them, you know, live 1,000 years but lose my number. And, you know, that's, you know, how I feel. And I still am trying to be nice to them or whatever. But I find, you know, every day we're challenged by people who have been our family members that maybe we wanted to walk away from and we didn't. You know, I have three brothers who all live very far away. So they're not dealing with these people because they don't like them and they don't want to have to deal with them.
Well, you know, what's funny, having five brothers, I have one brother that I call doom and gloom because every time I'm around him, I just don't feel good after he's been here. And I subject myself to this time and time again. And I say to him, and he doesn't really understand me, and I say to him, Craig, you know what? I want to be a better person. I want to make a difference in the world. And he says, who gives a shit about the rest of the world? I only give a shit about myself. And this is just such great, you know, I love the guy. You know, he's a great guy overall. But the level of negativity, and it really makes me feel, he has made me feel really bad, but I allow him to do this. Over the last couple of years, he's really said some things to me that hurt me.
Right.
And he says, well, I'm not saying it to hurt you. I'm saying it because it's out of love. But it's really not. If you loved me, you wouldn't want to say hurtful things. You'd be supportive, encouraging of whatever it is that, you know, I'm choosing to do in my life, you know. Not say horrible, mean things because you're a horrible, mean person and your life is miserable.
And again, we're going to talk about some things we could do on a day-to-day basis. How about if we all start out tomorrow by saying this is going to be a really great day?
I do that every day.
Me too.
That's a good thing. And saying I'm going to reach my dreams. I've never been closer to my dreams. I'm close to, you know, I'm having my dream life. I mean, I do wake up every day and think that I'm really blessed to do a job that I love, to have clients I love. As a matter of fact, one of my favorite clients, Alda, is listening to the radio show. And I'm blessed to have people, my clients like Nicole and Kim, who tell me every day when I do or when I read them, I love you. I mean, I think we're in good positions that we have jobs where people actually say, I love you and thank you. And you make my life better. So, you know, I'm blessed in what I do for a living. You know, I think Kim is realizing she's been blessed, and Nicole is very blessed. So all of them.
And I really do want to stress every day to wake up and just be grateful for the things that you have. Don't focus on what's not there.
Right, and that's
because
important.
It'll eventually
attitude
come
of gratitude
if you're grateful.
Goes a long way, an attitude and take responsibility for your behaviors. If you haven't behaved well, apologize. And, you know, don't play the victim. Don't blame everybody else. We make the choices. You know, we choose to be victims if we don't, you know, do something about it. So take responsibility. Choose to grow every day.
Well, Cindy, my ultimate phrase is, you're only a victim once. After that, you're volunteering.
That's right. So we have 1 minute. I want to thank everybody for joining me at the book review, and, of course, my co-hosts, I'm sure, have their shout-outs.
Yes, actually, I do. I want to say to my friend Jim, who went to the divorce attorney today, that I'm sorry that it turned out this way, but remember, in 1 year from now, it won't make a difference. Just remember to be the best father that you can be, and no drama and trauma.
Oh, thank you.
I love you all.
And Nicole?
Actually, I'm going to make a shout-out tonight to Phil, my friend and business partner. He lost his uncle this week. So we are going to say God bless Uncle Paul. And, Philly, we're all here for you.
Well, and remember that love never dies. You know, we can all learn to commune to those who've crossed over. It's really quite fun. They are there to help us and assist us and I'm hoping that Kim is hearing Rita because Rita is a loud voice.
Yes, she is. Coming through loud and clear, Rita.
And if we need and to be a better person each and every day, you know, do something that makes you feel like a better person every day.
And have a sense of humor, people. Life isn't
that
serious.
That's what I was saying before. Why can't we laugh? You know, our sense of humor is what keeps us, you know, every day. Feeling better, sharing, being soulful with others, and a sense of humor goes a long way to get, you know, the truth out. You can say it with a sense of humor. And take some time to relax each day. We all deserve that. We're busy. We're, you know, life is expensive and we're running around like lunatics. But take some time each day to, you know, smell the coffee, smell the roses. So thank you for joining us, and we will see you
next. And next week's topic will be?
Oh, next week's topic. I think what men want.
I'm already starting a list.
Okay, what men want.
It's a very short list, though, Cindy. Blowjobs and sandwiches. I don't know. But anyway.
And that was not streaming, so.
Thank God that wasn't streaming.
Good night, everybody.
I love you all.
Love you too.
Good night.
Bye.